Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the After Buzz Podcast. I'm Nico Jamie, your host, and of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
And we're joined by the incredible, the vivacious, the professional, Joanna Barba.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. You like that? How's it going? Hey, wait a minute.
What?
I thought I was your new co-host.
Starting next week. How about starting when we come back from vacation? You'll have it down to a science. You guys can do the after buzz without me.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. He's going to end up being part of it. That's the one. I just know that's going to happen anyways. He's
going to be like, what? You don't want to be left out.
You guys don't want me to be part of it.
You guys, we're going to do it in the other studio. You don't even have the music, the
intro.
Where
did you get that music bed from?
I made it for him.
So you have it.
I do have it somewhere.
He technically has it.
He'll never find it. He'll never find it.
Listen how he gets the glee in his heart.
Yeah, but you know it's true.
I don't know if that's true or not, okay?
I can resend it.
Welcome
back to the AfterBuzz. So normally, what I was going to do with Joanna is make it like a real AfterBuzz and see if there's anything from today's Buzz Adams morning show that we talked about that you found particularly interesting or you had any more to say on the matter.
Yeah, people have very strong opinions about toast.
Toast, seriously.
Today's International Toast Day.
It is International
May
Toast
Day. May not be
Day.
When you're listening to this.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But on today, February 27th, it is the International Toast Day. There's a ton of different types of toast, and I found out that a lot of people had like similar like childhood fundamental experiences growing up. Your whole syrupy peanut butter thing. Toast that your mom used to make you. Apparently that's something a lot of kids' moms made them. My mom made me Nutella sandwiches on toast.
Yum.
That was like my... In thinking back, that was not a healthy lunch.
Ours was savory. It was beans on toast.
The molletes.
Molletes, which we found out is what they're called.
Is what they're called in the app chat.
Oh my God, some new info has come out about the mysterious death of Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog. Are you reading the headline?
Oh my God.
It's like, I've just seen this for the first time. I almost don't want to say it, but everybody's going to know sooner or later. Anyway,
right.
They're saying that Gene Hackman's wife's body and his body were mummified and bloated after not having been seen for 2 weeks.
What about the dog?
Probably mummified and bloated as well.
Oh.
Foul play, you say?
Gene Hackman's wife was found, but maybe
it's just the wife.
Yeah,
I think,
the headline.
Okay. Gene Hackman's wife was found mummified and bloated when the two were discovered dead with their dog in their Santa Fe home. They were discovered by maintenance workers who had not seen the couple in about 2 weeks. Now authorities, they were saying that there was no cause for community alarm. But they're now saying that the deaths are, and I quote, suspicious enough in nature to require a thorough search and investigation.
Very interesting. All right.
Ominous. Yes.
Do you want me to just talk to Joanna this, or are you going to be able to focus on?
I thought we were just talking about things we were talking about today on the show.
I didn't know. That's why you bring. I thought you just saw a huge update, like a flashing news sign or something.
I know that it was a thing. We definitely took a lot of phone calls about
it.
We
did take a lot of.
There's some context that I want to put out there to our listeners of the AfterBuzz. Buzz was not supposed to be part of this anymore.
Yeah. He didn't want to.
Mad at Nico because I feel like he doesn't prepare for him and it's just and not then, ready to go.
But
so I said,
I
I'm
never
not
have.
Do it
and I got mad at Buzz because
that's
like,
how it goes.
He will like instantaneously just zone out and like stop trying even in the conversation. So I'm like talking to a brick wall and it makes for the most awkward conversations ever.
So then I came on board as your co-host.
You are the lubricant that keeps us.
But
you guys
today,
I've already got it recording. You guys can record the rest of it. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Get how salty he gets.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I'm more comfortable inside a context of a higher degree of professionalism, I guess is what I would say.
I don't think you know what you're talking about anymore. Yeah, like,
I want you to look at our board.
Yeah.
And Nico, you're not here for the morning meetings, but if you could see how it goes, where I'm like, Buzz, focus.
That's my peak prep time.
What kind of prep is that?
Well, we, you know, write down a few things that we know we're going
to
talk
that
about.
That board used to be filled, completely filled.
Yeah. Right. Remember, I used
you know
to get
what?
Scared
if you don't
when...
like the way the pre-show meeting is going,
I'm not
Nico,
complaining.
You can always show
not
up
complaining.
In time for the
I
pre-show
am.
Meeting.
I used to get scared when Brandon was out, and then I'd be like, if Brandon comes in tomorrow and sees that this board is empty, he's going to be
so
mad. So
pissed. Yeah. I remember those days, too.
Anyways, continue, Nico.
Thank you, Joanna. Okay, so on today's episode of the After Buzz podcast, I'm going to talk about five of the most messed up things that have ever happened in history that are indeed facts.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm sure you didn't learn about it in school. They left these parts out. Now, I was going to go, when it was just going to be me and you, about movies that are like 3 hours long that nobody can stand to go through. Anymore.
Oh, yeah, I think you brought that up for the show. And
yeah,
then,
I think.
And I saw a Reddit post about it.
You're more of the movie buff.
I wanted to watch a movie in the 80s that was critically acclaimed and up for a bunch of awards called Reds. And I swear to God, I don't, to this day, I don't know how long that movie was.
Did you finish it?
Nope. It was so long.
Okay, I might as well just go through like three of these. Okay. Okay, so these are movies that people said that they were just too long, too boring.
Ooh.
First one, Up. Pearl Harbor, that movie with Josh Hartnett, remember?
That,
yeah.
And Ben Affleck, right?
Ben Affleck.
I don't think I finished that
That
one.
Was a chore.
A slog.
A slog to get through that one. It was not great. I think it was Michael Bay, too.
Somebody said, I remember having the DVD copy of Pearl Harbor, and it came in two discs. And when the first disc ended, I thought, that's a strange way to end a movie. And then I got to the insert disc two message, and I was like, what the fuck?
That's hilarious.
I don't remember it being, I don't remember it specifically being a long movie, but it was definitely not a well-made movie, and it was not very historically accurate.
Next up, Avatar, The Way of Water.
Oh,
dude,
that's one buzz.
I got up in the theater, and it was just like, I can't watch anymore.
Did you not finish it?
No. Had no desire.
He abandoned his nephew in the theater.
Yeah. Oh, like, that's right.
For it was at Bassett, so we were already in a mall. So it's like I'm just gonna walk around and go to Target and stuff.
Did you go see it, Joanna?
No, I haven't seen the second one.
I haven't either.
So...
yet. I wouldn't know. The first one was still kind of long though.
For sure.
Next up, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh my God, Buzz
Joanna,
and
I saw that
one.
In the theater.
Was that a slog?
There was a point where it's like we turned to each other because Brendan Fraser had just been in The Whale, for which he won an Academy Award.
And
we were looking
definitely in the trailer for it.
We knew that Brendan Fraser was going to be in Killers of the Flower Moon, but we look and then notice it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes
in. It was already like 2 hours in.
Where's Brendan
and
Fraser?
And I'm all, where the fuck is Brendan Fraser?
So he showed up, and then after he showed up, there was still another 40 minutes on that movie.
That's hilarious.
It would discourage me from rewatching it.
I have not rewatched it.
Somebody else is saying Gone with the Wind. My college girlfriend made me watch it with her.
Oh, my God.
That's one of those when it was on videotape. It was a two videotape thing. I remember seeing that at my mom's house.
Yeah, yeah.
My college girlfriend made me watch it with her. I had no idea that you had to wait flipping 4 hours for the famous Frankly, Scarlett.
My dear, I don't give a damn. Yeah.
Where shall I go?
I've seen
that movie once
and once only, and it's because we watched it
it's
in history class.
Yeah. A history class?
Yeah.
This is what the antebellum period, or the postbellum? Was it antebellum?
It started before the war and ended after the war, so kind of the whole bellum era.
It's all bellum.
All bellum.
And finally, this is the one that gets me every time. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. It's that last final scenes where you think the movie's ending.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, oh no, now they gotta say farewell to these people.
And then it's going, duh.
I think I'm gonna give Lord of the Rings another chance.
You should.
I've only seen it once in the theater.
Wait, all three or just the first one?
My first one. So much walking. I fell asleep in the movie theater. I was like 10 years old when it came out.
There are a lot of movies that are... considered classics or critically acclaimed or won a bunch of awards that are just too damn long. Gandhi is one of them.
Yeah. You were saying that earlier. That's not on the list, but that is
people
one.
Don't say Titanic. Titanic was a long ass movie.
It was
long,
but it kind of kept you engaged the entire time.
And there were
almost
boobs.
To the point where at the end where they struck the iceberg, I was like,
yeah,
forgot that was going to happen.
We knew it was coming
in 1999 when you had to change. VHSs. Oh, yeah. You were like, hurry, get it so we can keep watching it.
Wait, you didn't see it in theaters?
No, I didn't see it in theaters.
I saw it twice in theaters.
Wow.
That sounds so long.
That's what a fangirl I was.
Really?
I think in the VHS, when it comes with two, the Jack painting is like, I think them having sex, it happens right either at the end of the first.
That's hilarious.
Or the beginning of the second one. And I didn't mention it on here because I was going to get it with my Return of the King, but somebody does say, a friend came to the theater for the first time to the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship, with me. He knew nothing about it and was just coming because everybody was going.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was hyped up.
Goes on
the
so
movie hard. Finished with Frodo and Sam looking at Mount Dune, and he said, that's how it ends? That's stupid. We informed him that it's a trilogy, and he said, I have to watch two more of these fucking things now?
Dude, I was like 10, and my mom was like, oh, it's like Harry Potter. And then we went to like a 10 a.m. showing.
For Lord of the Rings.
For Lord of the Rings.
It was not like Harry Potter.
It was not like Harry Potter at all. I'm 10 years old at 10 in the morning on a Saturday, and I fell asleep. I was like...
You didn't like the exposure in the Shire? You know, the big birthday party?
It looked pretty cool. Yeah. And then they just kept walking and walking.
All walking.
And all I was thinking was, you said we're going to Red Lobster after this.
So that had to be Cinemark. No, it had to be the mall.
It was at Cielo Vista.
All right, let's get into the messed up historical facts. Now, Buzz is a history buff, so don't ruin it if you know the fact already.
Or do ruin it.
No,
maybe you really do want me to ruin it.
I really want Joanna to react.
How about this? I will give it a ring. That is a pathetic bell.
It's not a girthy bell.
I will give it a ring if I know the historical provenance.
Okay. But even if you do, I don't want you to say anything. I still want to give
it. Fine, but I have to let everybody out there know. I know this one.
Okay. First up, one of the saddest stories in history is about the first dog in space.
No.
Yes. Shut up. Shortly after the Soviets achieved the feat of the first manufactured object in Earth's orbit, which was Sputnik, they built another spacecraft, this time with a compartment for an animal.
Oh my God.
They chose just a stray dog named Kudryavka. Later dubbed Laika by the public.
Oh, Laika.
Sending her into space with no intention of her returning. They had only left enough food for a single meal due to weight restrictions, and she could only move a few inches. She had a weak supply of oxygen and was expected to just die of oxygen deprivation seconds after it ran out. Instead, she died after reaching orbit due to a rapid increase in the temperature of the capsule that they didn't account for.
These bastards already knew, like, yeah, she's not coming back. She's going to die up there.
Laika had surgical devices implanted in her to monitor her vitals. It showed she was terrified during the ordeal.
No. Oh, man.
With her heart rate at least four times what it should have been, and her breath rate about five times.
Yeah, she died of a heart attack before anything, she even entered space. No, don't show me a picture of her. No. I don't know.
This is just going to be, this whole show today is just going to be a big bummer. One big bummer after another. Oh, poor Laika.
My nanooks.
She kind of looks like that is a cute dog. Oh.
She probably died before she even entered space.
If you want a happier ending to this story, watch Guardians of the Galaxy, because when they go to nowhere,
they find
the
dog
is there along with Howard the Duck.
That's Cosmo. His name is Cosmo.
You don't remember the talking dog? It showed up in that.
I've never seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
You saw the Christmas special, though, right? Yeah, they had that talking dog. That's supposed to be like
that. Oh, cute.
Like she survived somehow.
Now, if you're somebody who's like fine with us being all cozy to Putin and the Soviet Union and Russia, think about Laika.
Yeah.
Like, we've never done animal
experimentation. Shut up.
Come on.
Buzz Adams.
Like, they don't use animals for makeup in the United States. Did you know that?
Yes.
Like, they test makeup.
Yes. That's why you
spray perfume in the dog's eyes to see if it hurts him.
All right. Next up. Number two.
Fucked up.
Buzz definitely will be able to help with this because he lives in the area, I think. So, Native Americans, you probably never heard that there was a mass execution of them at one point. It occurred in the U.S. Dakota War of 1862. No? You don't know this one?
I mean, there were just so many different shameful episodes in history where, you know,
this
villages
one,
with
complete
most of
villages.
The most of the fighting age men gone
yep.
would be wiped out by the U.S. cavalry, mostly old women and children.
So after the Dakota surrendered, 390 of them were, of the men, you're right, of the men were tried without any lawyers or representation in trials that sometimes lasted as little as 5 minutes. And 303 of them were sentenced to death.
Uh-huh.
Now, the list of those sentenced to death were sent to President Abraham Lincoln at the time, and he didn't agree with all of the convictions, but
he signed off on most of them.
He signed off on a list of 39 men who died later. It was revealed that two were hung mistakenly. One was acquitted in his trial, and they just threw him into the execution line. Mm-hmm. And another one was a dude who was confused with another dude.
Oh.
Wouldn't that suck? You're like, not me!
Right.
It's not me!
Boom.
Number three. Speaking of Native Americans, did you know that Native Americans also had slaves, black slaves?
They also had slaves?
They had slaves.
Even before Europeans came to the Americas, Mesoamerican tribes practiced slavery with other tribes.
I'm talking about
the transatlantic slave trade.
Yes, and I'm talking about North American.
I was also talking about North America.
Okay, well, I guess not the Aztec or Mexican ones, but I'm saying, like, you wouldn't consider the Creek or Chickasaw Mesoamerican tribes.
My definition of Mesoamerican is before the arrival of the first.
No, that's pre-Columbian.
Okay, well, pre-Columbian then. Mesoamerican, you think, only applies to South America and Mexico?
I believe so.
Okay.
Either way, the Cherokee, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Creek, and the Seminole Nations all had enslaved black people, taking up about 20% of their population. Many of these...
You're right.
Yeah, right?
Mesoamerican refers to basically the southern part of Mexico down to Guatemala.
Because meso means middle.
No, yeah, no.
Can you say I'm right again?
I won't do that, but I will do this.
Corrections and retractions.
Apparently Mesoamerican does not mean North America. Only the southernmost part of North America.
There you go. Okay, here's the messed up part. During the Civil War, a lot of the Confederacy, or a lot of the Native American tribes fought for the Confederacy because they wanted to keep their slavery.
Yeah, they're like,
fuck that, we want our slaves too.
Yeah, they're like, we want our slaves.
Damn, that is messed up.
Post-war treaties freed their slaves, but the tribes later took away their tribal membership. Even if you were a slave in a Creek nation or Chickasaw, they were like, you can't be one of us anymore.
Dang.
There's not enough bingo money to go around for everybody.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that the casino kind of stuff thing, black descendants of these enslaved people have had to fight for years now to get that tribal recognition.
Damn.
I will tell you this, growing up in Oklahoma, which is kind of like the Native American state, because of forced relocation mostly.
Yeah, messed up.
But there were all kinds of people of all different shades of skin color who had Native American ancestry.
Uh-huh.
There were plenty of black kids that I went to school with, and their grandmother might be full-blood Indian. And, of course, in Oklahoma, everybody had a story.
Did you say your dad always claimed to be
Native
American?
My dad said that his grandmother was full Creek Indian.
Wow.
But that's what everybody says in Oklahoma. Oh.
Number four. So, in this entire list, there's, of course, the history of medical experiments on people who didn't know about them.
Uh-huh. Oh, is this the Japanese section?
731. No, that's in here.
That's terrible.
And I don't think I need to bring that up.
Boy, that would be a rough go for anybody to hear.
They did experiments on the prisoners about, like, how to kill, how they would die. Okay, so, like,
how long would it take you to die if you were just exposed to
freezing
a super cold temperature? How about heat? How long would it take you to die?
So they would just leave them outside. Maybe then they would pour water on
them when
it was
freezing. How many of your limbs can we chop off before you die of blood loss?
The fucked up part is that we now know how to treat frostbite because of those experiments. And a lot of them received pardons as long as we got the research from it. But that's not this one. This is a less known medical kind of black mark in history. So you know the drug aspirin, right? It was
familiar with
it. It was created by a company called Bayer, and the drug company Bayer also created a blood clotting medicine for people with hemophilia. This was in the 1980s.
Okay.
Right? So people with hemophilia, they can't clot, so if they get a cut, they'll bleed out.
Right.
They used donated plasma to make this medicine, okay? Before there was an HIV test. Thousands
Uh-oh.
Of hemophiliacs got HIV.
That's right.
Oh, no.
And a lot of those people who got, you know, not through intravenous needles or a gay lifestyle, a lot of these people were shunned in the same way that the
gay community
would have been shunned. It's just like you have AIDS.
Doesn't matter how you got it.
You know, those early days, absolutely.
I think one of the best episodes from Golden Girls, they had like good moral lessons sometimes.
And they did.
The one where Rose thinks she might have HIV.
Because of a blood transfusion.
And then Sophia doesn't like, she marks her cups and she won't.
Why are all these cups marked R?
Yeah. For Rose.
And then at one point, Sophia's like, give me that mug when they all decide to rally behind Rose.
Knowing that, like, oh, you can't get it just from drinking out of the same cup.
Right.
So Bayer and similar companies had to pay about $600 million in lawsuits. This was in the 80s, so that was still a lot of money.
Damn.
But what's messed up even more is they created a new version of the medicine that didn't have the plasma from HIV patients. And that's good. They started using it in Europe the U.S. Guess where they kept selling the old medicine that had the HIV?
HIV medicine, probably like Africa, South America, just any place that's poorer. Right?
Oh, no.
Even into the 90s, they were still selling the HIV.
Knowing that there was a high risk of contamination.
Oh, my God. That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. You like this list so far?
Yeah. We need to get a scale on, like, how fucked up is this?
Makes me want to protest the man, I can tell you that.
The man.
Stick it to the man.
And finally. Number five is a two-parter. During the Cold War, Americans were tested on by their government in something called MK Ultra, a project by the CIA.
Now, this is very conspiracy adjacent. Apparently, there was a real MK Ultra.
There really was an MK Ultra.
But don't take everything you read about it online literally.
Okay.
Had you heard about this?
No.
So the CIA wanted to test LSD. They didn't know what they could use it for. Maybe they could brainwash the suspected assassins or this and that.
Maybe develop some kind of foolproof truth serum.
Okay.
So when they were testing it, they tested it on, first of all, their employees.
Often without their knowledge.
Like, hey, Chet. Oh, shit.
I mean, even...
I got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
You got to talk to Chet real quick?
No, I had to tell Ray that we're not using the studio anymore.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Fuck.
So it gets in through your skin, Joanna.
Okay.
So you could put LSD like on a doorknob, or you could put it on a phone handle, and people just using that would get dosed. So who were the tests done on? American prisoners in foreign detention centers, those in psychiatric hospitals and schools.
Student volunteers.
Some of the victims were even pregnant mothers and children.
Do you know who was identified as part of some of the government experimentation on PSYOPs?
Well,
Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Okay, nice. I didn't know that one. But there is another one, which was my two-parter. Another victim of MK Ultra, notorious Boston mob boss, Whitey Bulger.
Bulger.
Mm-hmm. As a young man in prison, he was given LSD over 50 times.
Sweet.
Yeah.
did anybody
was
enjoy
he just
it?
Like, you
was
know
anybody
what?
Like, ah, oh, that's
yeah. Was he just like, you know what? Those first 40 times didn't really hit.
Like, these
Let's
Beatles
try again.
Songs make a lot more sense.
just in the back listening to.
I think that's kind of the plot to The Men Who Stare at Goats, where Jeff Bridges is like a normal soldier, but then when he gets into the secret program and he does some drugs, it's like, wow, the world's my mind is open to the world.
I read that book that movie was based
good,
on.
Good book.
Yeah, it was a good book.
Actually, that wasn't John my last Ronson. One. There was one more. This is a bonus one. All right.
All right. Bonus.
Bonus
last one.
Bonus atrocity.
So, did you ever watch the musical Evita? Or heard of it?
I heard of it, yeah.
Don't cry for me,
I just know
Argentina.
Madonna, yeah.
So, it deals with the story of Juan Perón and Eva Perón, who was the second wife of the president of Argentina.
Uh-huh. There's a creepy story about
that. Wait for my story
Let
first.
Let him finish.
But do you know about the journey her body went through after she died? Is this what you were going to...
I do.
After she died of
cancer.
He
wasn't ready to let go.
Oh, man. Was he, like, banging it?
Maybe.
I mean, it was still around the house.
Yeah.
Like,
he loved
mummified.
Her so much that he wanted. He built a giant monument to display the body.
I hear she looked like Madonna.
She was very pretty.
Because Madonna plays her.
Oh, that's stupid.
I knew that.
So when he was forced into exile after a coup d'etat, the new guys ordered that her body needed to finally be buried. But they didn't want anybody to know where her body was buried.
Oh, my God.
Now, wait, what had he been doing? He would have it dressed and sit at the table with him for breakfast?
Yeah, he would
dinner?
Do stuff like hang out with
gnarly.
Her.
So it was like, man. But they wanted to get rid of.
They wanted to get rid of the body. But
these
are
the movies they should be making. I don't want to see Madonna singing.
You're right. I want to see about the body.
Yeah.
And if he bangs it.
Yeah. I want to see it be Weekend at Bernie's.
So they stored her corpse in trucks, military locations, and even behind a movie theater one time just to keep it from being found out by the public. It finally came into the possession of one Major Arancibia, who reportedly did bang it.
No.
Yes.
You're making that part up.
Nope. And then when somebody caught him banging the body.
Tell me it was his wife.
It was his wife. And he shot her in the throat.
The wife or the corpse?
The wife.
Wife die?
Yes.
She got shot in the throat.
So the wife opens the door and he's banging.
Please don't tell me. Then he was like, let me bang this one too.
Oh, well, you're
God almighty.
Crazy.
Now that part of the Evita story I'd never heard before.
That's something they don't put in the
movie. It continues.
Oh, shit.
The corpse then went to a Colonel Carlos Eugenio de Morikonig, who allegedly also had feelings for her and had his officers pee on her body when the corpse did not return his affections.
You gotta be kidding me.
She did, dude. She's not gonna return
anything.
Wait,
so he liked Evita? The feelings he had for her were...
And then he's all telling
romantic?
He's all telling a corpse,
yes.
I love you. And the corpse is just
pee!
Pee on this bitch!
What?
Man, people are fucked up.
Her body was finally returned to Juan Perón, her husband, who was now remarried to somebody else.
Wait, didn't he go to prison? Or was he
exiled?
He was married to somebody else.
And was he like,
did the
this
wife
corpse
say, why does your
ex-wife
smell like pee?
Right.
God,
no.
I wish I was on air.
The couple kept Ava's body on their dining room table.
The
new wife was cool with that?
His wife, Isabel, would comb Ava's hair.
Jesus Christ.
And sometimes lie beside her.
Well, crazy likes crazy, so she probably was down with it, too.
Juan eventually became president again. This was the... right? And his wife, Isabel, the live one, succeeded him after his death. And she had Ava's corpse displayed.
How the fuck?
Boy, you're really dropping a lot of F-bombs today.
I know, I'm sorry.
She was eventually buried in her family's mausoleum, though another freak accident during transport killed all three men accompanying her body. She currently resides in a fortified tomb, which has a trap door and fake coffins to distract from Ava's real one.
Damn. That's the movie we should be making.
Should we just go through a journey?
Yeah. That was a whole roller coaster of
emotions.
Can you imagine watching what's happening to your body? Like, no, no!
Like
your spirit is
from
like,
up in heaven.
Yeah. Or looking up. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Check out the Buzz Times Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 95.5 KLQ, El Paso's best rock.